when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I can't thank you enough for hanging on, and I can't tell you... I guess you could call it enjoyment or satisfaction. The feeling I got from the first hour we just got through doing with two precious white patriots. It gives me a feeling of great satisfaction of what we've done, even though I guess you couldn't measure much what we've done at Blood River Radio, but you just never know. But at least I could... When my time comes, if I'm still alive right before I die, I can say, well, at least I did what I could do. I tried the best I could. The rest is up for God. But anyway, Don Wassel, he's not available right now. He might come in later. We don't know. Things happen on live radio. That's just the way it is. We were going to do a presentation on the Masters tournament. Don is a big, as you know, and I'll get this plug. We'll go back right back to what we were talking about the first hour, and we'll talk about some other stuff. But Don was he's an attorney like Jason. Don caught a lot of trouble years ago for being, quote, a Klan lawyer, a Nazi lawyer, a homophobe. Before the word homophobe came out, he was, you know, the same stuff, the anti-Semitic, just a white supremacist. So he got his practice got hurt pretty bad. But he has other jobs now. But anyway, he was a stalwart. He was one of the original members of the Populist Party. And I was a proud member of the Populist Party. I wish it was still around, but it's not. He'd done all kinds of things like that. He's put out... he's a lot more tech savvy than I am. He has this great publication, y'all. If you can go to, if you want to see, I think it's probably the best online newspaper you can get. And I take credit for naming it. He didn't call it an online newspaper, he being Don Wassel. But he said, you know, you're right. It is really an online newspaper. But if you want to find some great news, it covers almost everything you can think of. It's almost a one site serves all. It's called AmericanFreedomNews.us, not .com. He created that. He's created a site called another internet site that I don't understand called Cast Football. He wants to come on and talk about the NFL draft probably next week. He was letting me know that the first 32 picks that there's I think 32 teams. I never pay attention to that black football organization. It's just all black, and it's worse and worse and worse. In other words, I think there's 32 teams in the NFL. So they have the first round. You have each team gets one pick. So that's 32 athletes that they pick out of colleges. Some of them don't go to college, and out of the first 32, I think he told me only five are white. So you figure that. Put up there five. Divide that by 32, multiply that by 100, and they give you the percentage, and which is really piss poor. I don't know how white people can watch that. But anyway, he was supposed to do that, and if he comes on later, we'll talk. If we have time, we'll talk about that, but he may not. So we'll try to get that next week. But, folks, it's live radio, and we fly by the seat of our pants, and we're going to keep going. And I think we should expand upon what we were talking about. Hang on. That's Don. Hey, if you will, Jason, take over, Stella, for me. I'm going to answer Don Wassel. That's him calling in right now.
Yeah, definitely. So I know the first show or first hour, Paul, you know, you were talking about going into Italy, and you had attended an event there, and obviously you can't say where it was at in Italy. How did the attendees, did they seem pessimistic or optimistic about what's happening in their country and the immigrants that's coming in there as well? Can you expand on that?
The site is no secret. It was in Rome, in the downtown part of Rome. This is the first time I was there. It's a profoundly beautiful city. I did get to do a bit of the tourist thing and see the Forum and the Vatican Museum. Just a taste of it. You could spend a week in there, and some of the churches. It's a beautiful city. The Italians are enraged at the invasion that the traitorous European Union allowed. These are the sons and daughters of Kalergi who wanted to replace the European people, basically genocide the European people on the installment plan, and that's happening in parts of Italy. And there's a lot of opposition, and I would say people are angry and they're not despondent. And our American friends, for the most part, are hopeful. They think that the dark shadow hanging over the conference, of course, was the war of aggression, of course, led by the assassin state of Israel against Iran, and of course America providing the background strength. Most of us are isolationists, did not want entangling foreign wars and did not want a war of aggression. The Israeli attack, and we've talked about this before, on not only on Iran but on its neighbors, Lebanon, Syria, Qatar. They go around the world assassinating people they don't like. Well, this is not good. Now, no matter whether Trump has a deal or not, hopefully there will be peace. But this bullying and just assassination and demolishing of the Iranian infrastructure, it leaves a bad taste. I mean, you wouldn't believe how. I shouldn't say you wouldn't believe. You should be aware just how much people in the countries I've been to in the past, few months resent what the Americans are being dragged into. They don't like. Nobody likes a bully, and that doesn't mean I'm a pal of the Ayatollahs or a friend of radical Islam. I'm not. I want them to keep their heathen religion over there, not in my country. On the other hand, so there's a lot of concern about the war. Maybe I could just leave it at that. But
I think you're right. I mean, obviously, people in general, we should not be for foreign entanglement whatsoever. And so often, people always talk about don't be involved in foreign entanglement, except Israel. We can be in foreign entanglements with Israel, but not any other country. And Israel is one of the most influential controlling of our policies in the United States, and obviously, probably in Canada as well. And so we shouldn't have any type of foreign entanglement. Let me ask you this. Did the people there in Italy and in Rome specifically, are there racial parties over there, or is there any rising racial parties in Italy, or the laws prevent that from happening?
Anti-immigration. The current prime minister, president Maloney, is from a strongly anti-immigration party. There are several of them in Italy, and as long as they stay off the Jewish question, that it's tolerated. So her leadership is not all that some would like, on even on immigration. But there's quite a good deal of activism and organization on that. When I left Rome on Wednesday morning, I went to Termini, that's the central station, and I looked around on people moving back and forth, and it suddenly struck me, they're mostly white. What a change from where I live.
Well, folks, I'm back. Thank you so much for listening to Blood Drip Radio. We're going to a first break in the second hour. We'll be right back, folks.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Are you watching what's happening in our country and asking, what can I do? Join the John Birch Society in Salt Lake City, June 6th, for a powerful one-day conference. The day includes a host of respected speakers, two meals, and meaningful connections. You'll gain clarity on the issues and walk away with practical steps you can take to your community. Reserve your seat today at jbs.org/SLC26. That's jbs.org/SLC26.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Dear Blood River Radio family, we had to send Luca Brasi after Don Wassel. He was out, well, maybe I shouldn't say it. He was out in a... with a lot of ladies hanging around, stuff like that. They're kind of questionable. No, I'm just kidding with you.
Now, I had to disperse my harem.
Yeah, that's right. After they were interfering with his phone. I'd like to really thank Jason and Paul for hanging out and taking care of the business while I had to go talk to Don. And everybody and his mama knows how to do this. I've already introduced kind of way when we were trying to get Don. I told him what you do about the website, newspaper, and everything. So I'm going to shut up and get out of the way. The rest of the hour will be you, Jason, and Paul. And by the way, every bit of this has to do with white people, the white race, because, and I'll just shut up after this. The Masters, just like the NFL. Like the NBA years and years ago, it used to be mostly all white. I remember when the first black came into the SEC. And now look at it now. Without further ado, I'm going to shut up and get out of the way. Go ahead, Don, and kind of lead off, take off where I left off when we were giving you the big introduction before we could get you on the air. So go ahead, son.
Okay. What do you want me to talk about? Anything in particular?
I think you want to talk about the
Cast football?
I think you wanted to talk about the Masters, didn't that right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Masters.
Something about that. But Cast football would really fit in right now, probably fit in better than the Masters if you want to.
Yeah, might as well, because, I mean, the Masters was last week. It's a great event. It's my favorite sporting event, actually. I call it one of the few slices of America 1.0 still left. The tradition and the course, Augusta National, is a national treasure. And that the club there, they just do a tremendous job of keeping the original, everything original about it is still there, the tradition and the sentiment. And you know, it was designed by Bobby Jones. Anyone out there who's a golfing fan knows who Bobby Jones is. He, before there was Jack Nicklaus and unfortunately Tiger Woods, there was way before that, there was Bobby Jones, who was, he was an attorney, from, I believe, Atlanta, but I know he was from Georgia, and, very, very famous. He was sort of the Babe Ruth of golfers of his time. He even had a ticker tape parade in New York City after he won the, I think it was the British Open. He won all four of the grands, what were the, major events in his time, a grand slam, which is unbelievably tough to do. So he was just an icon and a really a gentleman and just a tremendous role model. Yeah, even went out to Hollywood and shot some short films on how to golf with various movie stars out there in comics and such. So, I mean, he was a huge star in the 1930s. But at any rate, I won't go into too much detail other than I love the Masters. I love the course. I love the tradition. I just love the event. It's always filled with drama. And Northern Irishman, Rory McIlroy, won it back-to-back. He won it again for the second time in a row after trying really hard. He had missed year after year. That was the one major he still needed to complete the career Grand Slam, which only five golfers in history had done before him. He became the sixth. And he did it last year, and it's just if you like golf, I mean, you love the Masters. It's just a great event. But I know a lot of people don't, so I'll just leave it there. Who's on? Paul? Paul, are you there? Paul?
Two items.
Yeah, Don, I had a strange fantasy. It would be to be able to golf at the Masters, and the person driving my golf cart would be Tiger Woods.
he's the last person you want driving, based on his track.
Yes,
that's what I mean.
yeah, if you are contemplating suicide, have Tiger as your driver.
You know, Don, we have two.
What a dysfunctional clown he turned out to be too, and you know, he's all roided up. That's one reason he had so many. He's had incredible amount of physical ailments, basically, because he bulked up so much and. It hasn't been proved conclusively, but he undoubtedly was using steroids and things like that. And of course, the media never looked into it. They've always given him a free ride, and you know, they built him up to be almost his god, almost a human god. I mean, the guy is so flawed, it's unbelievable. But they overlook everything because he is a POC, and particularly he has some black in him, which I think that's where his dysfunction comes from. But he's only 1/4 black, and his mother is from Thailand, and he's, the other quarter of him is white. But it's the media, he's a black guy. So he's a fallen idol, and we'll attribute that to his blackness too.
Well, you know, Don, this falls in right in line.
50 seconds.
You know, Paul wrote this book. We've said this before. This fits perfectly with cast football and what you're talking about, and Tiger Woods, et cetera, of how he gets a free pass because he's black. But Paul wrote this booklet, and I call it the clergy plan, and it talks all about how the Jews back in the 20s, they even said they put a blank. It amazes me how they throw a blueprint out there and tell about how they're going to conquer everybody through unlimited immigration and installing. I got to make this quick, and how they install blacks into the society, because normally as rule they're not as intelligent as whites, so they can't do it academically, they can't become doctors, lawyers, things like that. They just don't have it. So they put them in sports and athletics, and that's how they get them into society, being millionaires, and they can buy these whites and breed with them. And that I'll shut up after this, because this cast football ties in perfectly with Paul Frum's clergy plan booklet. And Jason Robb's here. He's been his dad's been, before Jason was born, they've been beating the drums and spreading the news about this forever.
Oh, yeah.
and pointing
okay,
out
okay,
how
Jason.
This
okay Jason's on there. Okay, hey, yeah. Yeah, how you doing, Jason?
I'm shutting up. You're now the way back. Now
I've been really good. The only type of golf I've ever done is miniature golfing, and yeah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's sort of like comparing ping pong to real tennis. But
yeah, there you
I
go.
Know what you're saying. Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. I mention this a lot, too, because CastFootball.us, it's a one-of-a-kind site. It's been around for a long time now. And I think one reason we have it slow going to some degree and trying to get people to understand what we call a cast system in sports, which is, you know, another, it's, you can call it DEI, you can call it affirmative action, quotas, whatever you want to. But one reason we have a difficult time among our own people that are racially aware to varying degrees is because most racially aware whites are not real interested in sports. They don't play them. They turn on the TV and they see the sports that the media glorifies, which are the ones that the blacks, where there's a lot of blacks, like basketball and sprinting and football. So most whites, I think, have tuned out sports. But in the meantime, over the past 50, 60 years, there's been an agenda. That's the original breeding ground culturally of the great replacement has been in sports. That's where it all started. And it became very successful and it spread from there. And it's amazing how you want to call it, we call it the caste system, sort of, you know, play on what India's caste system, but it's spread all through society from sports now. I mean, you turn on TV and it looks like the NFL as far as demographics. You always see any white men, you know, or their background figures or whatever. So the great replacement started with sports, and that's why I think it's really important for people to understand that and not just cede sports to blacks, or which is ceding saying that they're better physically and they're more masculine, essentially. It's because it's not true, and it's very important. Obviously, there's the spiritual realm, there's the intellectual realm, and there's also the physical realm. And whites are the best all-around athletes in the world, so there's no way we should be just saying, okay, we're smart, but we'll give sports to blacks. No, you go by what's true, and we're trying to get the word out about that.
Yeah, well, I think it's very important because of the fact that, you know, there's a lot of people that may be, you know, becoming racially aware, and they you know, come to sites like yours, and it's probably the first time that they actually really see, you know, what's going on within the in the sports industry, because, you know, you get, you know, the last generation to, you know, they all they know is what they've seen on TV, and right. So shedding that light to new people, I think, is very, very important. And so I think that site is excellent. It's very good, and it helps reveal a lot of history and facts within the sports industry that people are not getting out in the public, obviously, because it's being censored.
Right. Yeah, it's the Cast Football has a lot of opinions, obviously, but it has a lot of facts, too. I mean, there's, with a draft coming up this week here in Pittsburgh, where I live for the first time, we have an ongoing thread about the NFL. We break it down. We've broken down every draft for the last 25 years by position, race of each position, how many whites were taken in each round. For 25 years, we've got it broken down. We got the numbers. And as far as the NFL draft goes, it almost never varies. It defies all laws of probability that the same percentages of few paltry number of whites would be drafted year after year after year, but that's the way it is. I mean, you'd think there'd be at least an outlier now and then. I mean, it defies probability. It's an agenda. It's an enforced agenda. It's probably not written down anywhere, but it's unwritten. It's no different than the unwritten rules of this system in general. You know, you have a commercial on TV. You know, if you're in the advertising industry, you know what the cast has to look like for that commercial. You know, it's not going to be all whites. You have to have a certain amount of minorities. This. And this is what the NFL has been doing, except it's been predominantly black. Whites have been phased out, pushed in the background, and it's like that every year. And see, we know different because whites are really good athletes. And we're also fast. We can jump. You know, there's
right.
the one slight advantage blacks have is they can run faster in a straight line. You know, okay, wow. Okay, that's when you take all the attributes of athleticism, mental, physical, teamwork, selfishness or lack thereof. Whites take a back seat to nobody, other than, you know, put a pair of shorts on a white guy and a black guy, and the black guy might run a little fast. That doesn't make a better football player. It's just a lot of lies.
We're going to go to a quick break there. Folks, we got to go to a quick break. It's about 4 minutes. You got plenty of time to get coffee, go to the restroom. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. A series of reported tornadoes has torn through the Midwestern United States. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Chouinard reporting.
Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. So a lot of those states did have pretty widespread severe weather yesterday. Wind and hail were the most common reports. A lot of large hail, a lot of strong winds. But there were also several tornadoes scattered about within that corridor as well. So definitely an active day of severe weather yesterday across the middle part of the country.
The U.S. and Iran are locked in a standoff over the Strait of Hormuz. Saturday, Iran fired on a ship trying to pass through, escalating tensions. The U.S. continues its blockade of Iranian ports while Iran restricts passage in the strait. Two gunboats from Iran's Revolutionary Guard, meanwhile, open fire on a tanker transitioning into the strait. Breaking news, townhall.com. President Trump plans to appeal a court decision that once again stalls his White House ballroom project. Correspondent Ken Lorman reports the president is clearly not happy with the ruling.
U.S. District Judge Richard Leon said he's ordering a stop only to the above-ground construction of the planned ballroom, apart from any work needed to cover or secure that part of the project. President Trump on social media called Leon a Trump-hating judge who, quote, has gone out of his way to undermine national security and to make sure that this great gift to America gets delayed or doesn't get built, end quote.
An American delegation has met recently with Cuban government officials in the island nation. It marks a renewed diplomatic push, even as U.S. President Trump has threatened to intervene in Cuba and its leader. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit ReliefFactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com for Think Factor.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood Room Radio family, we're going to go right back to our guests. But Paul Fromm put something out there that's really, I've never thought about it, but it really excited me. And I'll ask Don this question. And since we have an attorney, well, we got two attorneys on there. We got Don Wassel's attorney, Jason Robb, our attorneys. Paul Fromm asked a very pointed question. For instance, the draft coming up, Don said that one particular year, I think I got it right, 32 teams picking, 32 athletes picked in the draft. Only one of them were white. He said it averages, I think he said around five, sometimes a few more, sometimes a few less. Here's the question. Paul asked Don, why can we not have a lawsuit charging these teams, these athletes with discrimination? And it's obvious discrimination. So I'm going to ask that question on the air. I'm going to shut up and get out of the way and let you guys, y'all guys are doing a great job. So how about that, Don? What about, and since you're an attorney, and then bounce it back to Jason and get his opinion.
Sure.
Go ahead, Don.
Sure. I mean, that's something that's been brought up a number of times on Cast Football over the years, because you would think, how do they get away with this? Why doesn't somebody do something? Where's the woman that had the hot coffee spilled on her while she was driving? You know, somebody to spark a case or something. But it's not feasible on several grounds. First of all, it would, at least in my, maybe Jason could come up with a different idea, but to me, it would have to be a class action suit initially. You'd have to get a class of white athletes. Maybe it could even be college, but because you know there's gross discrimination when it comes to giving out scholarships to colleges. You've got all these white guys, kids that star on football teams in high school, but they can't go any further than that because they don't get scholarships even though they're deserving. So you've got the institutionalized discrimination there, and then when it comes to just getting them into the past college, even you know the ones that overcome that hurdle to try and get in the NFL, then there's another huge hurdle, which is the NFL. So it would, in my opinion, it would have to be a class action suit. And to do that, you would have to get a class of white athletes who feel they've been discriminated against and can back it up. And there's a ton of ways to back it up because it's so blatant because they know they can get away with it. But they'd have to stick their neck out. And they would, of course, be demonized as Nazis, everything racist, everything for standing up against racism against whites. You know how it works. First of all, they would have to have very thick skin and be willing to essentially throw their public personas, their reputation away. And then the second thing, which is even more difficult, in my opinion, is just the legal fees involved. It would be a massive lawsuit. The NFL or whoever, the NCAA, whoever the defendants were, they would, first of all, drag it out as long as they could. They file all kinds of pretrial motions, try to get it dismissed, et cetera, et cetera. And if it did eventually get to trial, and I think something like that, you would want a jury trial because they would, you never know what you're getting if you just leave it in the hands of a judge. So you go to a jury trial, and even then, if a jury has common sense and it sees what's going on and it rules in the favor of the discriminated against white athletes, then the appeals start. And the appeals, again, you're dealing with incredibly deep pockets here. I mean, the NFL is extremely important to the system, the regime. I mean, it's the national secular sport. Nobody, they don't want to see the NFL harmed and the caste system upended or barred by any stretch. So you'd have appeals, you'd have, it would be dragged out for years and years and years. And so you would have to have, you couldn't match the deep pockets of the NFL and the other too big to fail parties that would be interested in it. But you would still have to have considerable money on your side to finance it all along to try and stand up. You know, you'd essentially be like Iran against the U.S. and Israel. You'd be much smaller in resources, but it doesn't mean you couldn't win, but it would be an epic struggle, and it would take a long, long time, in my opinion. What do you think, Jason?
Well, let me ask Jason this question. Jason, let me ask you this question.
I think you're 100% right. You laid that out beautifully. You know, first off, you got to find the players and then pursue. But I don't think most people realize litigation is just extremely expensive. And so often, people say, why don't you do this or why don't you do that, as far as the legal system in the United States. And some other countries that may be procedures may be different, but in the United States, how it's set up is so expensive to litigate cases, especially on a class action lawsuit. And unfortunately, you know, the right wing, our cause, we're not bankrolled by Fortune 500 companies. We're not bankrolled, you know, by millionaires. We're bankrolled by, you know, common men and women that love this country and love our race and our nation. And so we're not bankrolled. And so these leftist groups, they have hundreds of millions of dollars sitting in their war chest to pounce on anything that's Christian or anti-Christian in their favor, or to try to destroy, you know, Christian values. And it even goes into the sports. And so from our standpoint, you know, like you said, you know, filing a lawsuit, class action lawsuit, I mean, it's just extremely expensive. And I don't think a lot of people understand the amount of power and resource you would be fighting against for that. And unfortunately, just because, you know, because I have people all the time, you know, contact me and say, hey, why don't you do this, do that? It's like, it's not that we don't have the desire to do it. We would love to do it. It's just economically, it's impossible. I mean, it literally costs hundreds and thousands of dollars, and that type of thing would be millions of dollars to fight an extremely well-funded leftist organizations, which is, you know, the NFL. And so people just, you know, realistically don't think about that. And you're absolutely right, Don. It would be extremely, extremely expensive that we don't have that financial backing.
Well, listen, Jason, yeah. Would it be the same thing? The question I was going to ask, guys, Jason, since you just came up, what about if you went through, like, the affirmative action? I mean, I'm not an attorney. If you went through the federal government, like, there's a thing here. We had a guy from St. Francis Hospital one time that I worked who went through the EEOC, a federal thing. He didn't have any money, and he caused St. Francis Hospital a lot of problems by doing that. He was broke. But is there a way, and I'm coming from being a totally ignorant, layman. What if you went through a federal way, the federal route, got the EEOC to challenge it on a federal affirmative action? Y'all may not know anything. It might not be your expertise. Could you go that route? I mean,
I guess a person could make an attempt to do that, but usually it has to be the injured party that's going to have to make that complaint.
Oh,
okay. So you would have to have a white athlete who said I was discriminated against because I was not picked, you know, and then maybe go that route. I mean, you have to have an injured party. I guess you could go that route. But again, if
would it be cheaper?
If you filed the application and let's say you were not successful, then you have a right to appeal it. But then that's where you privately, you have to then hire an attorney and go the litigation route.
I got you. Well,
maybe things begin with what Don is doing, and that's talking about it, getting it, pointing out, what might not be obvious, that there is this discrimination, and that the large number of blacks showing up in these sports is not because they are superior. It's just that the game is rigged against whites. Maybe things begin by informing people. More people should just tell. I know a couple of people that no longer watch basketball because it's basically this city's blacks against that city's blacks. Although there are talented white people, and we actually Canadians, we invented the sport. What really pays their bills is advertising. Fewer people watch these sports because they're disillusioned. Then you hit them where they really pay attention.
Well, I'll tell you what, over the years we have reached a lot of people. And I think I mentioned this last time I was on your show, Eddie, and we were talking about this subject. I do believe sports announcers are more fair to white athletes than they used to be because we have had an impact, not a huge one, but they're a little more careful about what they say. And if you look at it, if you look at the comments, where you can still find comments on the internet, a lot of them are totally not allowed anymore, censored. And something like this comes up, you can tell there's a lot of people that finally are catching on. But you know, it's like with everything else. You got so many, when it comes to politics in general, you've got so many people that are finally waking up to this system. It's a system of lies. Everything's fake and gay. So why would sports be any different? Yeah. So I think as time goes on, I think more people are going to see what's going on, and maybe they'll reach not a majority, but enough of a critical mass that we will see some changes and possibly even a lawsuit or two. I mean,
we're going to go to our last break to the second hour. We're going to go a quick break, Don. I'll be right back to you soon. We come back for this last break.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Are you watching what's happening in our country and asking, "What can I do?" Join the John Birch Society in Salt Lake City, June 6th, for a powerful one-day conference. The day includes a host of respected speakers, two meals, and meaningful connections. You'll gain clarity on the issues and walk away with practical steps you can take to your community. Reserve your seat today at jbs.org/SLC26. That's jbs.org/SLC26.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm so enjoying this. If you want to call it enjoying, it's kind of depressing, though, what we're talking about. Just in case you're just tuning in, we're talking about caste football and really sports in general, how the playing field is so tilted against white players. Don, you're talking about affirmative, something negative. 32 teams in the NFL, so 32 teams get one pick, so that's 32 athletes going to be picked, and maybe if we're lucky, there'll be seven. Usually, I think Don said there's usually around five, maybe sometimes a few less, sometimes a few more.
Hey, Eddie, Eddie, I know you want to go to Paul. Just let me read something real quick, okay? Can I do
Sure, fire.
Illustrate. The NFL, the first three rounds, which are it's a seven-round draft. The first three rounds are the most important. Most of the players that make the teams and get the start are drafted in the first three rounds. So just from – I'm going to read the percentage of whites drafted in the first three rounds of the NFL draft from 2009 through 2024, okay? The percentage of whites drafted in the first three rounds, which are the most important rounds – starting with 2009, 12%, 15.3%, 14%, 21%, 21%, 21%, 13%, 21%, 15%, 23%, 19%, 8.5%, 19%, 19%, 15.7%, and 21%. I mean, you talk about a small minority that way year after year after year. That's how anti-white the NFL is, and I just wanted to get that out there.
My God, that makes me even more depressed than I was. I mean, that's pitiful. You know what? I'll step on a lot of toes, but I consider anybody that would have watched these sports teams, I have to consider them that are white. I think they're race traitors. I really do. They're out and out. You're just an airhead, this narrow, shallow race trader. And with that, I'll just shut up and go to you. Paul, you had something you'd like to say, brother.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I think among families, it's very, very important to recognize birthdays. But I also think it's important for our people to recognize birthdays. I understand that until they adopted, I think it was Martin Luther King Day, that day in January had been, at least in the South, celebrated as Robert E. Lee Day. You know, it's important to remember great men. And coming up on Monday, April the 20th, is the anniversary of the birth of one of the greatest leaders of the 20th century, Adolf Hitler.
Thank you for remembering that. Thank you. Now, what's that? What's that date again, now, Paul? The birthday again?
Monday, April 20th, the 20th of April, and you know he led what might have been world changing resistance to communism. Now, of course, he was subverted by the British and the Americans, who sided with the Russians and, you know, consigned most of Eastern Europe to almost half a century of communist misery. But it was a great and heroic effort. And I think when history is written by our people, not by a certain lobby group, that will be taken into account. And the other thing, and one of the reasons I think the Holocaust is endlessly hammered into our heads and endlessly publicized, is to distract from another question, and that is, how did Hitler pull off the economic miracle? And he took power in January 1933. Within 2 years, he had full employment, and he had a broken country that was suffering from the Depression and then the horrible inflation of the 1920s, and he had it back up and running. And United States couldn't figure it out. Canada couldn't figure it out. Britain couldn't figure it out. I mean, what do we do about this depression? How do we get out of it? I have my own theories, and you know, it would take quite a bit to explain them. But he was on to something. In fact, our own prime minister, at the time, William Lyon Mackenzie King, said in 1937, "We must inquire more carefully into how Mr. Hitler has done this." In other words, what did he do to turn the German economy around? I don't have a full answer, but maybe that's one of the reasons all we ever hear is about the Holocaust. Keep an eye on what my hand is doing over here, and maybe you won't look at what's going on over there. That's one of the reasons I think Hitler was demonized, because whatever it is he did united the nation and pulled it out of despair and depression. That ought to be studied rather than all we ever hear is, you know, 6 million in Auschwitz and so on. And so it's a significant birthday, no matter what you think about all of it.
It is the most significant. And, you know, I've asked you, Paul, and I've said this, I'm sure y'all people, all of our audience have heard me say, I only wished I could get my hands on the textbook, an economic textbook that shows exactly how they did that. We used to have a fellow that come on this radio program. What was his name? His name escapes me right now, but he talked about that. He said he knew how they did it. But, and I'm going to shut up here after I say this one thing, this one statement. My wholehearted belief, I believe that the Depression was engineered on purpose in this country right here and in the West. I really do. And by the same old people, the same enemy that's been the enemy of all humanity since before Christ even. So with that, go back to you, Don.
Oh, okay. Well, the draft is in Pittsburgh on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we'll be following it closely on Cast Football and making fun of it and making the observations, and we know ahead of time what's going to happen. We always poke a lot of fun at the crowd estimates, because the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, and then the media that follow ESPN and the dinosaur networks that follow it. They always exaggerate how many people are there by a factor of 10 to 20 times. So we have fun with that. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'll be able to, you know, poke all kinds of holes through that. And we make fun of a lot of the guys drafted. They're all, they call, you know, the ones, if you listen to the way they're described, and, you know, we know all the descriptions and what it means. They describe them as raw or, you know, they have upside. That means they're most likely going to be a bust. Or you can tell by their names. If the first name is like Quantavius X or something, you know, that means he was brought up, you know, with no father anywhere nearby, probably in a gang, you know, that's 80% chance he's not going to come through either, you know. It's just we've got it down to a science, and we have a lot of fun with it.
We should start demanding that the owners of the football, since this, we should demand they get rid of Roger Goodell and put blacks in there and get rid of all the white cheerleaders, get nig cheerleaders. Maybe that would shake these ships. Bring these people to their senses.
The only thing in sports that's still heavily white, if you want to call it white, is ownership. Of course, most of them are white,
yeah.
But they'll consider themselves white, if you know what I mean. So,
amen.
That's,
amen.
Top down construct, for sure. Like everything else.
You were trying to say something, buddy.
Well, I was going to make the comment. Well,
oh, go ahead,
I guess
Jason.
The plant, it kind of still sounds like the South plantations. You still have white owners and the black workers.
right.
Don, on these different. When you're listening to different shows and stuff like that with the NFL, do you I'm assuming you do, but like post
Jason?
Links to the cast football on NFL sites and stuff like that?
Hello?
and do you get any like response from that at all?
We do it. We have certain people that are posters that are on social media, and they try to respond to a lot of things. But unfortunately, even on Cast Football, a lot of people are there are just, I wouldn't say they're passive, but they're like a lot of aware whites in general. You know, we're aware, we're upset, and we talk amongst each other and post things, but we don't really do all the nitty gritty stuff. And so we could certainly use more help when it comes to things like that.
Yeah. I think just the fact of, you know, spreading that on social media and that's very beneficial, so it brings just more awareness.
Yeah, there's no question. We used to, when we started off, especially, we'd see these left-wing forums. And, of course, forums aren't as popular as they used to be. They've been surpassed by social media and other things. But there used to be a lot of sites. They were very aware of us. So, even the left knows about us. So, it's, like I said, the hardest ones to reach are the pro-white whites. I wish we could reach more of them and get them to get involved.
Right.
Yeah. Jason, tell your father I said hello. I've known him a long time. I haven't seen him for a while, but always had a lot of respect for him. He's a good man.
Well, I appreciate that. I will definitely tell him that you said hi. Absolutely. As far as the Cast Football, what about baseball? Or do you mainly, is it just the football that you and your folks monitor? Do you guys do all the sports or just mainly football?
Yeah, no, we do them all. And, you know, some posters are sort of, you know, experts in various sports. We have a few posters that really know every, you know, they know all sports well. But people that post on there, they stick to the posts, the sports they know best. I mean, I don't follow basketball anymore. I've just lost interest in it. But so you won't see me posting there. But we have other people that do. So, yeah, it's filled with information and views if anyone wants to check it out. CastFootball.us.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Blood River Radio on the second hour. The next hour, we will have Eddie Miller, and then we'll just continue with the third hour. Everyone, just stay tuned, and we'll see you on the third hour.